Are you involved in some way with the missionary endeavor? Maybe you sense that God has called you. Maybe you're a young teenager listening and you're saying to yourself, you know, I feel that God wants me to be a missionary.
Proclaiming Jesus as Messiah, this is The Messianic Voice with Marty Zeid, the radio ministry of Midwest Messianic Center in St. Louis, an evangelical faith missionary organization helping to spread God's love to the Jewish people throughout the Midwest and beyond. Our goal is to help provide you with the tools you'll need to effectively witness to your Jewish friends and neighbors. I want to remind you to stay with us through the end of today's broadcast for information on how to receive some free resource material that we'd like to make available to you. But right now, let's rejoin Marty Zeid with A Messianic Voice.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to the Messianic Voice program. I'm so glad you've joined us. We're coming to you from our headquarters here in Chesterfield, Missouri, and we are continuing on with a series that I started last time called Principles of Missions. What does the Word of God have to say about the missionary endeavor, about the missionary enterprise that God established? Well, it has a lot to say. In fact, this is really the heartbeat of God. This is what He has chosen to use as the primary means to take the wonderful good news of the death, burial, and resurrection, that wonderful story, the gospel, to the uttermost parts of the earth. And I believe that the Word of God clearly tells us that every single church who calls itself a church should be involved in this wonderful endeavor. Well, we're going to talk about that. We're going to discuss some of these principles that we are finding from Ezra chapter 1, which gives us the historical account is that the Babylonian captivity, which was predicted to be 70 years long, the two southern tribes of Judah, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, some of the others were taken captive when Nebuchadnezzar came in and besieged Jerusalem, took them back to Babylon, and they were captive, held captive for 70 years. Well, now this 70 years captivity has come to an end, and now King Cyrus offers a decree to the Jewish people who were there for the last 70 years in Babylon. And it's basically this: if you want to leave Babylon and go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the house of the Lord, you are free to do so. And even though we're not necessarily called upon to have this inkling of leaving where we are and going back to Jerusalem to rebuild the house of the Lord, because that's not what the Lord is even doing at this point. However, there is a parallel. Today, we are involved in what is known as the body of Christ, or the church. And Jesus said, I will build my church. And the wonderful truth is that we cooperate with Him, He being the master builder, we, using the spiritual gifts that God has given to true born-again believers, and we exercise them, and this is how the church is built up. This is how the church grows and becomes more and more and more like the person of the Lord Jesus. Well, there are some principles that were given back in Ezra chapter 1, and we've already taken a look at two of them, and then we just introduced the third one last time, but I want to review, in case you weren't with us last time, what the first two principles were, and then we'll pick up with principle number 3. In Ezra chapter 1, verse 3, it says, whoever there is among you of all his people, may his God be with him. So the first principle is just a very general call. The call was sent forth by Cyrus, if you want to leave Babylon and go to Jerusalem to rebuild the house of the Lord, you're free to do so. Why did people go? Well, they went because they had a desire to go. And that's principle number 1. God's true missionaries should have a desire to go and to serve the Lord, whether it's right here in America or to the remotest part of the ends of the earth. But the important ingredient that needs to be there is desire. I feel the same characteristic should be there for anyone who serves even in their local church. If they're teaching a Sunday school, if they're singing in the choir, if they're an usher, whatever it is, they work in the nursery and on and on and on, you should have a desire to do it. You do it because you want to serve the Lord. This is a way for you to serve other people and to show your love that you have for your Savior. So desire is a very, very important and necessary attitude that we should have. We saw that this was the case with those who were the overseers of the church, where Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 1, that it's a trustworthy statement that if any man aspires the office of an overseer, that's an elder, it's a fine work that he desires to do. So desire should be there. The second principle that we discussed was in verse 3, whoever there is among you of all his people, may his God be with him. So point number two, whenever we go to serve, whenever we fulfill this desire of serving the Lord in whatever capacity, it's important for us to remember that God is present with us. And I gave the illustrations of some of these missionaries who go off to very distant parts of our planet, very primitive, very difficult circumstances, sometimes very hostile settings. It's important for them to remember that God is present with them. Even ministering to people right here in the St. Louis area, it's important for us to remember that God is present with us. And the reason why that's important for us is because we know that we're going to a people group that for the most part don't even want us to come to them. They don't understand their need. They don't recognize their need. And there's so many misconceptions when the person of the Lord Jesus comes up. And when we are challenging them to consider the claims of Jesus being the Messiah, I'll tell you what, we're glad to know that the Lord is with us. And then the third principle, and we just got into it last time, it's principle number 3, and we find it in verse 4, and it says, and every survivor at whatever place he may live, let the men of that place support him with silver and gold, with goods and cattle, together with a freewill offering for the house of God, which is in Jerusalem. And the principle is this, principle number 3. Those who stay behind should support those who go. That's how missions are funded. Missions are funded by people who stay behind, and they support those who have a desire to go and to reach out to people in other parts of our city, in other parts of our state, other parts of our country, and ultimately to other parts of our world. And I want to ask you, are you involved in financially helping people bring the gospel to lost people? I know sometimes people get really antsy and sometimes, you know, frustrated when you bring up the concept of money. But, you know, that's what God chose to keep his missionary enterprise going. He could have chosen something else, but he chose money. And you know what? I'm really glad he did, because this is really what makes this a real partnership. We mentioned Philippians chapter 4, verses 15, 16, and 17, where Paul talks about this wonderful church in Philippi, that when he left these churches in Macedonia and he was going to other parts, even it says when he was in Thessalonica, and he wasn't there for a very long time, the church in Philippi sent him a gift twice. And he goes on to explain a very, very important concept. It's not so much that he desired the gift. Yes, that was necessary from a human perspective to keep things going. It freed him up to be able to do the work that he was desirous to do. But the thing that really excited the Apostle Paul is that the fruit that God was giving Paul in his ministry was also going into the account of the church at Philippi. To me, that's a tremendous concept. Here you are, you live in St. Louis or wherever you live, and you have an opportunity, and I hope that your church is involved in the World Missionary Program. If you get behind that and you begin supporting that, the fruit that God is giving these missionaries who are serving all around the world, all throughout our country, is also going to your account. What an incredible blessing that is. I hope that you're going to a church that has a missions program. If not, you need to talk to some people in a loving, gentle way and show them. Maybe let them listen to some of these messages, because you'll see how important this whole concept really is. Now, there's also another wonderful set of verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Notice what it says in 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 5. Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God, which has been given in the churches of Macedonia, that in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. Paul says, for I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much entreaty for the favor of participation in the support of the saints. And this, not as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. So here are these poverty-stricken churches in Macedonia begging the Apostle Paul for the opportunity to help financially in his ministering to people. What a tremendous testimony that is. These churches in Macedonia must have really, really been something else. They didn't have any kind of excuses. Well, you know, those gas prices have gone way up now. Got to stop giving to missions, or whatever the excuses might be that we might hear in our day and age. They had no excuses. They could have had excuses, but they didn't. It says, in their great ordeal of affliction and in their deep poverty, it says they overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. Paul didn't go around hounding people for money. It's not that churches and mission organizations are just hounding people for money. However, that is the means by which God keeps the missionary enterprise afloat. And there are many fine, legitimate organizations out there that are doing an excellent job. And it's up to us to exercise some discernment on who we give to. And that's a very, very important principle. You don't want to just give to anybody because they're asking for it, but find one who has a desire to just get the word of God, the truth of the gospel out to people. Well, that's principle number three. Those who stay behind, and most of the people stayed behind in Babylon, but about 50,000 Jewish people left, and those who stayed behind, their responsibility was to support those who were going. Now, principle number four. And principle number four kind of balances principle number one. Principle number one was that God's true missionaries should have a desire to go. God's true missionaries should have a desire to serve. Desire is important, but there's got to be more than just desire. In my own case, I'm doing what I desire to do, but I wouldn't want to do what I do just because I desire it. I need what we're going to read about in principle number four, and that's found in verse 5. It says, then the heads, this is in Ezra chapter 1 and verse 5, then the heads of the fathers' households of Judah and Benjamin and the priests and the Levites arose, even everyone whose spirit God had stirred to go up to rebuild the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. So here, verse 5 tells us that the Spirit of God stirred up the spirits within these individuals to have a desire to go. So principle number four is this: God's true missionaries are divinely called from out of his people. I wouldn't want to do what I do for 1 minute unless I knew that I was called of God to do it. Yes, I have a desire, but I need more assurance than just my desire. I want to know that I'm called of God. And it tells us that those people who left, approximately around 50,000 of them, did so because God moved in their spirits. He's the one who called them. And that's why those who were left behind there, chose to stay behind in Babylon, shouldn't feel guilty that they were staying behind, but they should fulfill their responsibility. And what is their responsibility? To support those who go. But God's true missionaries are divinely called. when I was speaking in this church in southern Missouri, and we were on our way to a grocery store, and I was with the husband, the father of the house, and one of his young children, and the young son asked me the question, "Do you enjoy being a missionary?" And I had the wonderful privilege of telling him, "Yes, I do, and it's what I desire to do. I couldn't think of doing anything else." And then his father said, "Can I ask you a question?" And I said, "Sure." He said, "Are you called of God to do what you're doing?" And I proceeded to explain to him, "Yes, I know that God has called me to serve him. God has called me into the ministry." And I went through a little testimony to explain to him how that all took place and how God has reconfirmed that. And I have this total assurance and peace within my heart that, yes, God has called me to do what I'm doing. And his response was, "Boy, I'm sure glad, because the last missionary I asked didn't even know what I was talking about." Well, that's a little scary, because those who launch out into ministry, pastors should know they're called. If you teach a Sunday school class, you should know that this is your calling, that God has gifted you to do this. God has enabled you to serve in this form. So I am very, very comforted in the fact that, yes, I know that God has divinely called me. That's the principle that we see here in Ezra chapter 1 and verse 5. Those missionaries who left, and I'll call them missionaries because they were on a mission, they were getting ready to leave Babylon. They were captives there for many, many, many years, many of them as long as they were born, and many of them all the way back to when it originally started. Some of them were elderly in their age, and they were on a mission. And their mission was to leave Babylon and to go back to Jerusalem. And the reason why they went is it tells us that the Spirit of God stirred them to go up and to rebuild the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. So the calling of the Lord, the fact that we are divinely called, is so very, very important. Acts chapter 13, verses 1 to 4. Let me just read some of these verses to you. It says, "Now there were at Antioch, in the church that was there, prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manian, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' Then when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus." So here we have the example of Barnabas and Saul. There were others there, but those two were specifically called by the Holy Spirit. They were set apart and sent out. And we read about, as Paul gives testimony, many of these churches in Macedonia and Philippi sent gifts to enable them to do what they were called upon to do. Do you remember those leaders we read about in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, how it's a good thing for an overseer to have a desire to be one? Well, listen what it says in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, where Paul is talking to the elders from the church at Ephesus. And he says, "Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." So what's the point? An overseer, an elder, a deacon, a pastor within a local church should have a desire to do what they do, but also they should have confirmation that the Holy Spirit has made them overseers to shepherd the church of God. So it goes beyond simply having a desire. It also includes the concept of being called. But I'm confident that the calling that God has for me is also going to be something that I'm desiring to do. I don't look for the thing that I just detest doing, and then I come to the conclusion, "Well, I think that's what God called me to do." No, I think that God works hand in glove with our desires. His calling and our desires work together. So principle number one, God's true missionaries should have a desire to go and to serve. And when they do, principle number two, it's important for us to remember that God is present with us when we serve him. God is present with his missionaries. And then principle number three, those who stay behind should financially support those who go. And then principle number four, God's true missionaries are divinely called from his people. And then principle number five, Ezra chapter 1, and let me read verse 6. It says, all those about them, so there's two groups of people here, those and them, all those, it's those who stayed behind in Babylon, who were about them, about those who were getting ready to go, encouraged them. Now, how did those who stay behind encourage those who were going? It says, all those about them encouraged them with articles of silver, with gold, with goods, with cattle, and with valuables aside from that was given as a freewill offering. So principle number five is this. Support from those who stay behind brings joy and strength and encouragement to those who have been called and sent out to go and to bring the gospel to lost people. So I just want to tell you from my heart, and I know many, many missionaries that would say the very, very same thing. And all those ministering in local churches, pastors that are there because of the gifts that are being given by the people in the local church, this brings tremendous joy and encouragement to know that people are standing behind us, to know that people are praying for us, to know that people have committed themselves financially, and for us to know that the fruit that God is giving to us is also going to their account as well. What a tremendous partnership and team this really is. And this is what God's desire is. This is the way that he planned it all, so that the word of God, the truth of the gospel, would be sent out to the uttermost parts of the earth. So I want to ask you again, are you involved in some way with the missionary endeavor? Maybe you sense that God has called you. Maybe you're a young teenager listening, and you're saying to yourself, you know, I feel that God wants me to be a missionary. Maybe you're a young man. I feel God is calling me to be a pastor and a teacher of the Word of God. Oh boy, do we need God to raise up new pastors who will teach the Word of God and not think that the reason why the church exists is to entertain people, but to realize the high calling of feeding the sheep, feeding the flock of God. Believers are starving out there in churches. If you feel called of God, begin praying now and asking God to plan out your future so you will get the greatest preparation that you possibly can. If you're listening and you're part of a local church and they have a missions program in place and you're not part of it, pray about it and get behind it. Ask God what he would have you to do and how you could become a partner with people who are bringing the gospel all around the world. It's a wonderful, wonderful plan and program that God established. It takes some discernment on our part to make sure that the organizations that we support are good, solid ones that are doing what God has called us to do. Well, I hope that these little insights and principles on missions has stirred you to realize the importance of this wonderful privilege of taking and seeing that the Word of God is taken to the uttermost parts of the world. Pray and ask God the part that you could have in this wonderful, wonderful enterprise. Well, if we could assist you in any way in ministering to your Jewish acquaintances, Jewish neighbors, if you need some materials, books, tracts, literature, we have an evangelistic magazine, we have Bible study that you can invite somebody to, we'll come and sit down with you. Simply write us at MMC, Post Office Box 6611, Chesterfield, Missouri, 63006. Well, again, thank you for listening in, and until next time, may God bless you.
The Messianic Voice with Marty Zeid is the radio ministry of Midwest Messianic Center in St. Louis. Our goal is to proclaim Jesus as Messiah and Savior to everyone, but with special emphasis on God's chosen people. If you'd like to know how to effectively witness to your Jewish friends and neighbors, or understand better what God's Word says about Israel and the Jewish people, check out the resources we've made available at our website. Simply log on at MidwestMessianicCenter.org. You'll find books, videos, and audio material designed to assist in your evangelism efforts and your personal spiritual growth. We are a listener-supported ministry and would appreciate your financial gifts to help in this outreach. Your gift in any amount is tax-deductible and can be sent to MMC, P.O. Box 6611, Chesterfield, Missouri 63006. We would love to hear from you and know that you're partnering with us in this very important ministry. Again, our mailing address, MMC, P.O. Box 6611, Chesterfield, Missouri 63006. Again, you can visit us online at MidwestMessianicCenter.org. That's MidwestMessianicCenter.org. You may also contact us by email through our website at MidwestMessianicCenter.org. We appreciate you spending this time with us today and invite you to join us again next time as we proclaim Jesus as Messiah on The Messianic Voice.